God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. Welcome to A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. I know it's Super Tuesday, and I gotta be honest with you. I must be. I don't care. I do care, but I don't care. The reason I do care is because I have followed politics my whole life. I can't stand what the figurehead Biden's bosses are causing to happen to this country. It saddens me. It eats me from the inside out. I don't care because I'm not a citizen of this world. I'm a visitor here. I do care because this is going to affect my daughter and my grandkids, and it's going to affect you and people we love together, friends that we may have in common. It's going to affect people we don't know, and we're called to love even the people we don't know. So I do care and I don't care. I don't care because our fix will not come from Washington, D.C. It will not come from Donald John Trump. It certainly cannot come from Joseph R. Biden, in that he doesn't run anything and he's a pawn of someone. I think we all know who, but we can't prove it. Well, I mean, we can prove to some degree that he is a pawn of Satan. That's easy enough. Just look at the fruits of what he's produced or been caused to produce through the bosses that run him. So how are you on that topic? I encourage you to vote. Get out and do it. And if you live in a place with voter ID and same-day voting, for the most part, not forced mail-in voting, and you go and you, like we do in Idaho, see the same people every year counting the votes, ladies and men you know that live in your neighborhood, that if you sign up in advance, you can observe the voting, or pardon me, the counting, then you can rest assured your vote's probably going to count. If you live in a forced mail-in district, which has shown time and again to be, well, willing to destroy evidence of votes, then you can pray your vote counts. I still encourage you to vote. Super Tuesday, I care and I don't care. How are you on it? It's a bygone conclusion that Donald Trump has already won Super Tuesday. Nikki Haley, as we talked about yesterday, succeeded in winning the separate universe of Washington, D.C., further cementing the fact that this is a contest between America and D.C. The people who run Joe Biden absolutely are D.C. You can see the way the intelligence services are on his side, the side of that regime. You can see that the so-called public health authorities are as well. It's almost like it's biblical times. Well, it is biblical times. Well, we're not going to see another Bible. There's only one. There only need be one. The full, complete, inerrant, loving Word of God. And the times, though, are back to the biblical times. I was reading Lamentations by way of Joel. Now, how'd that happen? I woke up in the morning to read the Bible and to do what I think of as devotionals. And God just spoke to me, read Joel. And I did. And there was a line in Joel where the prophet Joel said, rend your hearts, not your garments. And I thought of the phrase lament, to repent. And then it occurred to me, I think that was why I was to read that. Am I really rending my heart? Are you? I bet you are. I bet you are at the state of your country. If we're to consult God's word to guide us, then it's probably a good idea to consult the history of God's interaction with us, with humans. You know, when my daughter was young, I used to tell her, I'm going to tell you about mistakes I've made. You're going to make some. I just don't want you to make the same ones. My mistakes will be boring. I'll tell you about the mistakes I made. Now, she did make some of the same mistakes I made. After all, she's my daughter, but not the same ones all the time. She created some of her own. I've told boys whom I'm honored to work with about my mistakes, hoping that they will choose other paths. What I missed with my daughter was, when I was talking about my mistakes, I was not a discipled man. So I didn't get to say, now, why did I think that was okay? Because I was relying on my own wisdom. So when we can look at someone who's been here before, such as in travel, if you've ever been lost, but you're with someone who says, oh, no, I know where I'm at. I've been here many times. It's sort of a relief, right? Well, humankind has been here before. This is from Lamentations, and because people will ask, this is from the New American Standard Bible, 1995. Now, I chose that translation because it happened to be the translation of the Bible that I was reading. Usually, I use the NIV. And I know that's controversy. It's funny how Christians have such zeal for the Word of God that they want to sometimes argue about the translations. Tell me if this sounds familiar. In fact, let me say that differently. Tell me when this sounds familiar from the Book of Lamentations. How lonely sits the city that was full of people? Have you seen the cities at night? Yeah, I mean, they're filled up now with illegal immigrants in many of them. But in other ways, they're empty. You can go to Midtown Manhattan, it's empty. You can go to the separate country of Seattle. People don't like to go down there anymore. The separate country of San Francisco, the same. How lonely sits the city that was full of people? She's become like a widow who was once great among the nations. She, who was a princess among the provinces, has become a forced laborer. We are $330 trillion in debt, if you want to talk about real numbers. Real numbers. If you're counting the unfunded liabilities that the government has promised to pay people for their pensions, etc. In other words, things on which people count to continue to exist or live. They shouldn't count on that. Should count on that which comes from the mouth of God, the word of God. But they do count on it. We are servicing debt to such a degree that it will soon outpace what we spend on our national defense. We are handing $10,000 per month, or pardon me, $10,000 debit cards to illegal immigrants to reward them for having broken our laws and entered our country. That doesn't count then the $2,200 per month we're giving them, or in the separate country of California. Not just free health care, as underwritten by the taxpayers, by forced, in other words, forcing the taxpayers to labor to reward lawbreaking. Now the separate country of California has worked a deal with corrupt banks to give illegal immigrants home loans where they need not have any ID or background verification and no down payments. Certainly that can't end poorly. Do you remember the last time you went through the process of buying a home and the documentation that was required of you and all the things that had to be notarized for you? Does this sound familiar? Back to Lamentations. She weeps bitterly in the night. This is this city. He's, of course, describing Israel in the form of a woman. She weeps bitterly in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. She has none to comfort her. Among all her lovers, all her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They've become her enemies. Now, if you think about the flood of illegal immigrants into this country, it's very much on purpose. The UN is funding it. The United States government is funding it. Her friends, who were our friends? Well, Britain has been a longtime friend of the United States. France has been a longtime friend. Are they stepping in to aid us? They can't. They're under the same assault. There are areas in Paris that are absolutely no-go zones. Now, many in the government will tell you that's not true. But anybody who travels to Paris on a regular basis, as do my friends who work for Microsoft and run Europe, there's absolutely areas you don't go. Does this sound familiar? This is biblical history. This is God's dealings with his people. This is a prophet describing why this has happened. Well, he gets to why. He's describing what has happened, but he gets to why. Does this sound like America? This is verse 3 of Lamentations chapter 1. Judah has gone into exile under affliction. and under harsh servitude. She dwells among the nations, but she has found no rest. All her pursuers have overtaken her in the midst of her distress. I wouldn't say that our pursuers have overtaken us, but think of this. China is buying up our farmland and with it our water rights. They, along with other mobbed up entities, are going about attempting to use eminent domain to steal land to store carbon dioxide in it. It's carbon dioxide sequestration rather than farmland. And family farms are being shut down to this process. This is very reminiscent of what happened in the early 2008 period, 2010 period, where they were doing the same thing to steal land from ranchers to install solar panels. When eminent domain didn't work, they used something called sue and settle. Does this sound like America? The roads of Zion, this is verse 4. The roads of Zion are in mourning because no one comes to the appointed feasts. All her gates are desolate. Her priests are groaning. Her virgins are afflicted. And she herself is bitter. Now, this sounds very much like how people feel about America. The appointed feasts, no one attends. And the priests are in mourning. Her gates are desolate. It sounds like a country I live in. Saddens me. But it's verse 5 that really drives this home for me. And we're reading Lamentations in comparison to what's going on in America. Because if this sounds like America, then our path is clear. Her adversaries have become her masters. Her enemies prosper. For the Lord has caused her grief because of the multitude of her transgressions. Now listen here. Her little ones have gone away as captives before the adversary. Her little ones have gone away as captives before the adversary. Now, Nebuchadnezzar has not sent an army into the United States. It's not happened. He doesn't need to. Well, first of all, Nebuchadnezzar's dead, but the demons who caused him to act that way are not dead. They are eternal beings. Well, as is the soul of Nebuchadnezzar. The little ones have gone astray as captives before the adversary. Of course, I speak about the chemical and surgical mutilation of children. We'll talk later this week about the fact that there's a book called The Return of the Gods. There was a demon who was dedicated to confusing people about their gender, which is really their sex. That demon said, I can make men women and women men. And kids are being taken away as captives before the adversary. I think so often now of kids being taken away in other measures, becoming sexualized beings at the age of 5, 6, and 7. Exactly what the adversary wanted with child sex slaves. And it's happening here. And it is a very discomforting fact. Some people don't want to speak of it. Some people want to skip it when they hear people talking about it. And yet we were warned about this. We were warned. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5, we read, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. So what do we do? Well, let's follow the Bible. The Lord Jesus came and said, repent. The kingdom of heaven is near. Repent. Be baptized. Accept the free gift. But there's another step that we as a nation need to take. I firmly believe there's another step we need to take. We'll talk about that next. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples' View. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. Welcome back. I'm Todd Herman. As I said at the top of the show, I'm quite aware it's Super Tuesday. And top of the show is such a really good phrase. The beginning of the program, top of the show. I'm sorry, it's easy to slip back into being a radio guy. Wait, this is radio. I do so much podcasting, sometimes I forget. This is live radio. By the way, I'm doing an entire hour on this topic of Lamentations on Friday during the podcast. I'm going to do it live. And when I do that live, I take listener comments. You can go sign up for my video service at video.thetoddhermanshow.com if you want to be part of that. Yeah, we started the program by recognizing it's Super Tuesday and expressing the fact that I both care and don't care. I care for the reasons you do. I love my country. I don't want to see her fall further. And I don't care because our hope is not from Washington, D.C. It's not in the person of Donald John Trump. No matter how mightily God has worked through him, and God has worked through him mightily, certainly not coming through the personage of Joseph R. Biden, who doesn't run anything, who's corrupt, senile, and not in charge. He also is either passively or actively serving the adversary, passively or actively. In his case, who knows? He's so unaware of what's going on, and it's sad. It's not a funny thing. It's a sad thing. But we were just reading Book of Lamentations, and it seems very much to describe America from the once full cities full of people now lonely, from being a princess among the provinces to becoming a forced laborer. That's talking about our insurmountable $330 trillion debt, if you use real numbers. It is just vital to understand that will never be paid back. One day, the Federal Reserve will invent fake money, and they'll buy it and wipe it out, and we'll see what happens to our standard as the world's reserve currency after that. Write down in Lamentations into the fact that, as it says in verse 5 of the first of verse 5 of Lamentations 1, at the end of that, it says, her little ones have gone away as captives before the adversary. Her little ones being Israel. In the case of America, ours. So when biblical history repeats itself, as is happening now, what do we do? Well, we follow the path of the Lord Jesus to repent, to accept him as our Lord and Savior, to agree to be changed by him. But there's a step before this. We need to lament. Repentance is not genuine without true sorrow. And it is so easy to be angry in these times that sometimes I find it difficult to find my true sorrow. I find it more easily when I think of friends who are in trouble. I find it easy to become sorrowful. A friend of mine, in fact, you've heard him on this program, Pastor Robbie Walden and his wife lost their 20-year-old daughter just this past week. They are absolutely faith-filled people, so they know that this is for God's good for them. They know her daughters, their daughters with the Lord Jesus, so in that way they rejoice. But of course, they were stricken with grief and still are. That case, I can find that easy to find my true lamentation, my sorrow for my friends. But it's so easy to become angry at the political world. Listen here to Governor Kathy Hochul in New York. Remember that she got that job after the last disgraced governor had to step down. A Cuomo, as you'll recall. So this is the New York governor on her plans to hire illegal immigrants with the best jobs in the city.
Can you send some of the migrants up here? We need them. I hear this in every corner of the state. I have 10,000 openings in the New York State workforce, from our operations to SUNY. I have 10,000 openings. So this is to give options for people, but to say we are working intensely to get work authorization applications. These are all legal people.
The goal is to make it faster for migrants to get jobs once they get legal work authorization. Hochul is eyeing around 4,000 entry-level positions that are currently unfilled within state agencies.
I'm anxious to get this moving quickly, and once they're approved, we can match people to jobs. They don't need to be reliant on services any longer, which I think is the objective, to not have people supported by taxpayers in our shelters.
It's part of an ongoing effort to inject new blood into a shrinking state workforce. Mayor Eric Adams also likes the new idea.
Of course, Mayor Adams likes the idea. The shrinking workforce, what is that about in New York? It's about people fleeing. It's about working age people fleeing the state. And when Kathy Hochul says these are legal people, well, she's being fancy with words. What she means is these are illegal immigrants we've decided to get to work here in government jobs. See? I feel angry. We're importing people, encouraging them to break the law, and then rewarding them. And by the way, we're going to be governed by people who broke the law? Because jobs in government aren't just service jobs. They often end up being boss jobs. In San Francisco, they just put a woman on the election commission who herself is not allowed to vote. It's easy to become angry. So how do we lament? I was thinking this morning as I was shoveling snow, lamenting. I was lamenting my role when I was a young man in being utterly arrogant. Utterly arrogant in the face of God's plan for marriage. I am so very ashamed of my ignorance and my arrogance. I'd taken to defending same-sex marriage because to me, it was just fairness. I had my heart broken by a dear friend of mine whose brother is same-sex attracted. And I really admired her. I still do. And she'd said to me, why should my brother not be allowed to be happy? That's all he wants. That's all he's ever wanted is to be married. Struck me to the heart, but not to the mind. And so the first time I did radio, I used that platform to push for that in the most vile ways. I lament. I feel sorrow for having done that. Our nation must lament. Of course, that was one of my roles. I had an audience. I talked into the minds, ears and minds of young people. And not just young people, middle-aged people. And I persuaded some people. So I want to apologize to God for that. But this isn't about me. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about disappointing Him. It's about putting Him back on the cross, which we can't do literally, but we can do figuratively. This nation, it's so easy to become angry. You think again of 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. And again, does this sound like America? And again, does this sound like we need to repent and lament? But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. My goodness. Lovers of money. Boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. Does that sound like America? It does. So how do we lament as a group? I would like to see pastors of influence actually call for a national day, not of prayer, but of repentance and lamentation. First, we'd have to describe to people often, not you, but many, what it means to be in a state of lamentation, what repentance means. We could follow the model of Jesus, which so often the best way to go, if not always. Outside the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus wept. The emphasis on that, that just two words, Jesus wept, had to make it important. Now, did he have reason to repent? Obviously not. To lament? The very words of the prophets are often God weeping for his people. There you had God in human form, weeping for his people, right there in front of everybody. So I so often find it easy to weep for friends. Again, I was in prayer the other day for a friend who is intermittently struggling mightily with a really unhappy situation at home that shouldn't be that way. That's not God's plan, and this is not someone who deserves that. And as I was in prayer, the Lord spoke into me and crushed me. And I began weeping, literally weeping, that my friend not fall. Don't let them fall, Lord. Don't let them fall. Don't let them fall. I found myself saying time and again, don't let them fall. What about our nation? How about getting beyond our nation? Because I truly think this is one of our challenges. We are not just, God is not just a God of the United States. God is a God of the world. He's a God of the universe. And beyond the universe, he's a God of all things. So how about if we expand our repentance and our lamentation for the state of the world? This is from England. A theater in the UK has decided to celebrate racism, to celebrate hating thy neighbor, which of course runs absolutely against everything God told us. By this you will know, my disciples, that you love one another. And prior to the Lord Jesus coming, we were told to not hate our neighbor. This is again from the UK. A theater decided to have a play that's only for black people. This is one of the directors.
Right. And if the price of that is saying to people who are, just because they're white, you can't come, you're not allowed in this space, does that make you uncomfortable?
Well, no one's saying, listen, there are a litany of places in our country, in all of our countries, that are generally inhabited by only white people. And no one has questions about that. And no one is saying that by inviting black audiences here, you are uninvited. The idea of a blackout night is to say, this is a night that we are specifically inviting black people to fill up the space, to feel safe with a lot of other black people in a place where they often do not feel safe.
Okay, and does it play differently? Does the theater feel different?
100%. It feels...
In what way? Explain.
I think that... let's not act as though we do not know that culturally, black audiences and white audiences respond to things differently.
Yes, perhaps white audiences and black audiences do respond to things differently. Much more likely, people respond to things differently because there may be black people who see things as a white neighbor does. See, I'm angry. How are you? I know it's Super Tuesday. I know. I care and I don't care. I care because I don't want to see our country continue to fall. I don't care because this fix is not coming from Washington, D.C. I don't think we can have the fix until we lament. Until we repent as a nation, as a whole nation. As many of us as possible, because some people are so fallen that they will not repent. I do believe that in the hearts and minds of the bosses of this country, they know. They know there's a storm coming. They know it, they fear it, and they probably should. Do you remember the movie Enemy of the State with Gene Hackman and Will Smith? Will Smith is an innocent man accidentally drawn into a spy drama. Gene Hackman revising his role as a spy. Originally, character appeared in a movie called The Conversation.
Yeah, so Julie, I'm going to finish up my Christmas shopping. Hey, do chicks dig lingerie?
Hi.
Hey, hi.
What size?
Yeah, right. She's
of course, it's a vile, vile scene with Will Smith in there buying lingerie. It's Hollywood. It has to have sex involved in it. And that's the point. The movie's about the degree to which government can spy on people. And if you look at it, it's the good old days. It's the good old days. There is a fantastic piece in Wired magazine called How the Pentagon Learned to Use Targeted Ads to Find Its Targets and Vladimir Putin. Truly. Now, I used to work in that field. And when I was at Microsoft, I was with a team that helped invent, and I'm not particularly happy about this, some of the biggest advances in digital advertising. When I left Washington, D.C., I founded a company that was a big data company. And I worked with guys who were, well, former CIA. Not particularly proud of that either. The phones that you carry, if it has any application on it whatsoever, that has any geo-tracking capability on it whatsoever, is an open door to track you wherever you go. to figure out where you live, with whom you hang out, what you do, what your patterns are, and with whom you're intimate. No, truly, it's an open invitation to track down adulterous lovers, cheating employees. There's a guy in Washington, D.C. who noticed this. And he took it to the CIA saying, hey, there's a problem. Many of your employees are, well, using same-sex attracted dating apps, which is one thing. Another is they're taking time off work to go meet other men at rest stops, making them easy to bribe, to blackmail. The fact is that they can use these technologies to figure out where people like Putin are, and they did by tapping the ads or the open doors left by the ads of his entourage. They're doing this to us. The government is doing this to us. They want to know where we're at and what we're seeing. So I would say this to the bosses of the country from Luke chapter 12, verse 3. What you've said in the dark will be heard in the daylight. What you've whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the rooftops. You may think you're the one doing the spying. God doesn't need any devices. I invite you to repent as well. We'll come back with the Tower of Babbling. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman, and gosh, it's not the show I expected. It's Super Tuesday, and I've been explaining the fact that I both care and don't care. And the focus of my not caring is that I'm not a citizen here. I mean, I'm a legal citizen of the United States, born here, etc., but I'm not a citizen of this earth. This is a sojourn for me. It's a travel destination. My home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom, as I hope yours is. And we're called to be great citizens. And I love America. Therefore, I do care. So I'm a jumble of emotions, in a way. But my focus is this, that this fix will not come from Washington, D.C. The fix, I think, has to start with this nation, as many of us as possible, going through a lamentation. Am I saying wear a sackcloth and cloth and put ashes on our head? I've never tried it. Do we need to do that anymore? I think we can probably just lament, but as a body, I believe the body of Christ needs to go before the Lord and beg him for forgiveness in pure lamentation and pure repentance for any role we've played, either active or passive, in allowing this once proud city, and this is from Lamentations where God, through the prophet, speaks of Israel as a city. How lonely sits the city that was full of people. She's become like a widow who was once great amongst the nations. She who was a princess amongst the provinces has become a forced laborer. Now, I understand that in some ways we're still the most powerful nation on earth. The power that God grants us, in some ways we're still that. But we've also become forced laborers to our debt. And when money becomes an unreal thing, it unleashes all sorts of unreality. And our money is not real. It is fake. I understand you can put a dollar bill in your hand, so can I. I understand you can go buy a gold back and have gold in your hand. In that case, it's far more real. But so untethered have big business and, in fact, the government become from any form of fiscal discipline that there is no reality. I've been talking of our forced labor to this $330 trillion debt, which will never be paid off, ever. Mathematically impossible. Well, they'll just erase it with fake money. When money is fake, then value is fake, and then it makes it a lot easier for everything else to be fake. And we end up with just ideas that appear stupid because they are. Men are not women. Easiest one to point to. Racism is racism. Another easy one to point to. We don't have a border, another easy one to point to. We do not have a debt ceiling, another easy one to indicate. That untethered from the realities of fiscal risk, you become untethered from the realities of any sort of risk in relation to policy. This is from NBC News. And yes, we'll get to the tire babbling. This is from NBC News. This was back in the day. Facebook removes post, Trump post that compared COVID-19 to the flu. Twitter restricted a similar tweet from Trump, leaving it online, but placing it behind the note saying that the tweet violated Twitter's rules about spreading misleading information, from the Wall Street Journal back in the day, or NBC News back in the day. Wall Street Journal, just this past weekend, it's official. We can pretty much treat COVID like the flu. Here's a guide. New guidelines from the CDC Friday bring COVID precautions in line with those of other respiratory viruses. I continue to ask this question, and I continue to mean it. Is there a COVID virus that's that different from the flu? I know that our country was being forced to work with the Communist Party of China in the Wuhan lab to make viruses more dangerous. I know that. If there is a COVID-19, I think it came out of that lab. But is COVID-19 simply the next step in a flu? That's how perverse our government has become. It wouldn't surprise me a bit if it was just a renamed version of the flu. After all, it had been in the wild. It had been in people for almost 2 years before they began speaking about it. And the pattern of respiratory viruses is this. As they go through their extinction burst, their desperation to continue to exist, they become more virulent, that is, easy to spread, and less deadly. It has to choose one or the other, be deadly or be virulent. It chooses virulence. That's the path of respiratory viruses. Perhaps one day, scientists will figure out a way to make them more deadly as they go on. But they would never do that, except for the fact that the CDC is working once again with China to make more dangerous bird-borne viruses, because we need that. So it's Super Tuesday. I both care and don't care because the fix is not coming from Washington, D.C. And I don't think we can get anything like progress in America until we lament and repent and even pray for people like Tony Fauci with lamentations on our hearts and with true repentance. Can I possibly have the same sorrow for Tony Fauci and his apparent trip into forever removal from God as I could a friend of mine at risk of that? Is it even possible? Can I weep for my enemies the way I weep for my friends? Aren't we called to do that? Isn't what love that mean? What it would mean if we loved our enemies that we would weep for them? Am I calling Tony Fauci my enemy? Yes. I believe he's your enemy as well. I don't think that's a hard case to make. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise people up on tall towers where we can all admire their wisdom and their brilliance. And then we look at the towers and say, hey, wait a minute. That tower is made of shaking sand. And we do that with our feature called The Tower Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents.
And there's a lot of other, for example, the idea that we're, in terms of taxes, that they refuse to. For example, I was able to balance the budget and pass everything from the global warming bill. Anyway,
the Tower of Babbling.
In the Tower of Babbling, we present three, usually three, sound bites that I believe back up my assertion that God uses these tall towers of shaking sand for us to compare human wisdom to our own. Today, three of these, largely about the border. But which border? Well, ours, right? Well, maybe. If that's some people's priority, our border. In this case, a reporter talking about the border deal and why that didn't happen.
Good morning, Michael. Well, in these rare dueling visits here to the border today, President Biden and Donald Trump will outline their very different visions for how to tackle this immigration crisis. The president is expected to meet with Border Patrol and local law enforcement and to once again blame Donald Trump for tanking that bipartisan border deal that would have included some of the toughest reforms in decades. That legislation would have imposed stricter asylum restrictions, included daily limits on border crossings, and billions of dollars in new funding for security. But Donald Trump pressured Republicans Republicans to kill that bill to deny President Biden a political win. Donald Trump is also eager to run on this issue in November. He is already promising mass deportations if elected and ratcheting up his rhetoric. Today, Trump and Biden will make their case as they both look to own this issue in November, Michael.
Wow, that's some neutral reporting. So let's break it down. The figurehead was sent to one of the least active portions of our former southern border because we don't have a southern border. It's not there. And President Trump went to one of the most active portions of our former southern border where you can watch people walking across as they please. The bill the supposed reporter was talking about and the billions of dollars for security, that security was to help people across the border to get them on airplanes, hand them phones, $2,200 per month, and send them to a city of the government's choosing. That's not security. Those are travel attaches. And the limits on daily immigration would have created another 9 million people in the next 2 to 3 years coming across the border, and it would have tied President Trump's hands, or the next president, from stopping this. Just a reminder to people who are reporters, you can still repent. That is, if you are aware that you are being caused to lie. This is an Ohio Senate candidate. If you live in Ohio, AFR is a vast network. If you live in Ohio, pay careful attention. This is a so-called Republican Senate candidate, Matt Dolan. And he is very, very concerned about a border, maybe our former southern border.
But we cannot allow the dysfunction of the Biden administration at the border to interfere with our responsibilities to Ukraine, not only our responsibilities to Ukraine, but our responsibilities to our allies and to us as Americans.
What about our border? I understand it's a quick sound clip. I cannot fathom, relate to, or understand a focus of a United States senator on the topic of Ukraine when we are seeing the biblical level of shaking down of our country, as we've been talking about this entire program, inspired by Lamentations. I cannot get there. Perhaps that's my problem. I just do not see the United States' interest in this. There's another reason why I'm very, very, very reticent to back this war. First of all, it's a war of choice. Secondly, we started it. By going and placing a supposedly soon to be NATO country on the doorstep of Vladimir Putin, by having a, what was it the New York Times admits now, a 10-year CIA op in that country, creating coups, putting biolabs there next door to Putin. I'm not a Putin apologist. He's a thug. He's a murderer. He's a kleptocrat. He's an authoritarian, as is Zelensky. Many things can be true at once. But the biggest reason I cannot, in good conscience, back this war or the one that we are funding both sides of between Israel and Hamas, well, A, because we're funding both sides, B, because I have no idea who's running these wars and no one does. Not a single citizen knows who actually runs the United States military. We're told it's figurehead Biden. This is a spokeslayer for figurehead Biden, John Kirby, with the State Department. The figurehead Biden had announced American airdrops into Ukraine. John Kirby was sent out to clarify.
When the president said we were airdropping to Ukraine twice, he meant Gaza, correct? He just misspoke.
He was referring to Gaza.
Okay, because it's a simple thing to confuse Gaza and Ukraine, right? So what if he actually meant to say, don't fire? But he said fire. This is a reason why I cannot, in good conscience, back putting our great servicemen and women at risk under this figurehead. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
Whoa! That is news.
On a Disciple's View.
So this is a private communication that I had. So I want to be careful about the way I put this together. I would like to ask for your prayers of praise for a friend of mine who has lost his daughter. She was 20 years old. And this just happened this past week. Not a guy I know well. Guy I count as a friend. Proud to do that. I've had him on my program a number of times. His name is Robbie Walden. Fascinating guy. Served in the armed forces, army in an elite unit, combat, injured veteran, came back and found a career in country music, a big career, did well on the charts, big album sales, tours, and all too much of what often goes with that lifestyle, being an entertainer. And God spoke into him, and Robbie Walden came off the road. And he dedicated his life to Jesus Christ. And he became a deliverance pastor, which is something I'm still exploring. And I've talked with Robbie about this and the process of deliverance. It is his love. It is what he believes God has intended for him to do. And he speaks really well of it. He also has committed himself to bringing people to Christ using the sport of CrossFit, at which Robbie excels. He was, in addition to all these things, he was a top-notch wrestler and pretty top-notch elite powerlifter, and now CrossFitter. He has a place in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho called Christ Fit. It's free. It's a sliding scale. People choose what they pay, and they bring in a lot of people who would otherwise never have access to that. And the Word of God is right there at the center of every single day and prayer. And it has worked to bring people to God. When I sent Robbie a text of condolences and prayer that he and his wife has lost his daughter, Robbie decided to tell me something, that he loves me. In a moment of grief, he had the capacity to think of another and to offer his love. I want to thank Robbie for that. More importantly, I want to thank God for making Robbie be like that. I hope you'll offer some prayers for the Walden family. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Until the Lord decides you and I can speak again, may His peace, which transcends all understanding, rest upon you and your families. On behalf of AFR and Randy, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.